Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Om
Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Today we will discuss text 2-10 from the first chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Chapter is entitled Observing the Armies. And this section, we could call this section the Duryodhana Gita, because it's Duryodhana who is speaking with Dronacharya. His teacher. So here in text 2, Duryodhana is an expert politician, but he is a little worried about the battle. So he goes and speaks with Dronacharya about the situation, what's going on, the strengths of the parties and the strategy. So in this verse here, it said Sanjaya Uvacha, Drishtva tu Pandavanikam Vudyam Duryodhanastata Acharyam Upasangamya Raja Vachanam Abravit. So Raja Vachanam Abravit. The king spoke some words. So it's just speaking some words. The Acharya said nothing significant, just some words. Something to get this purpose met. That's Duryodhana wants to win the battle. That I will read the purport of this text too. Dhritarashtra was blind from birth. First I will read the translation. Sanjaya said, O king, after looking over the army arranged in military formation by the sons of Pandu, King Duryodhana went to his teacher and spoke the following words. Purport. Dhritarashtra was blind from birth. Unfortunately, he was also bereft of spiritual vision. He knew very well that his sons were equally blind in the matter of religion, and he was sure that they could never reach an understanding with the Pandavas, who were all pious since birth. Still he was doubtful about the influence of the place of pilgrimage, and Sanjaya could understand his motive in asking about the situation on the battlefield. Sanjaya wanted, therefore, to encourage the despondent king, and thus assured him that his sons were not going to make any sort of compromise under the influence of the holy place. Sanjaya therefore informed the king that his son Duryodhana, after seeing the military force of the Pandavas, at once went to the commander-in-chief Dronacharya to inform him of the real position. Although Duryodhana is mentioned as the king, he is still to go to the commander on account of the seriousness of the situation. He was therefore quite fit to be a politician, but Duryodhana's diplomatic veneer could not disguise the fear he felt when he saw the military arrangement of the Pandavas. Text 3. Paschaitam Pandu Putranam Acharya Mahatim Chamam Fyudan Drupada Putrena Tavasisena Timata. O my teacher, behold the great army of the sons of Pandu, so expertly arranged by your disciple, the son of Drupada. Duryodhan, a great diplomat, wanted to point out the defects of Dronacharya, the great Brahmin commander-in-chief. Dronacharya had some political quarrel with King Drupada, the father of Draupadi, who was Arjuna's wife. As a result of this quarrel, Drupada performed a great sacrifice by which he received the benediction of having a son who would be able to kill Dronacharya. Dronacharya knew this perfectly well, and yet, as a liberal Brahmin, he did not hesitate to impart all his military secrets when the son of Drupada, Dhristadyumna, was entrusted to him for military education. Now on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Dhristadyumna took the side of the Pandavas, and it was he who arranged for their military phalanx after having learned the art of Dronacharya. Duryodhan pointed out this mistake of Dronacharya so that he might be alert and uncompromising in the fighting. By this he wanted to point out also that he should not be similarly lenient in battle against the Pandavas, who were also Dronacharya's affectionate students. Arjuna, especially, was his most affectionate and brilliant student. Duryodhan also warned that such leniency in the fight would lead to defeat. So, we see Duryodhan, he's an expert politician, and he wants them to be all fired up in the fight. So he's speaking to Dronacharya, and he refers to Dhristadyumna as Drupada Putrena, by the son of Drupada. But there is a whole background in history to that. Interesting, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says Dhristadyumna was destined to kill Dronacharya. So, and he will kill Dronacharya. Many personalities on the battlefield know already who will kill them. That's predestination. That's interesting. So why is calling Dhristadyumna as Drupada Putrena? Why? Because Dronacharya's great enemy, Drupada, was giving benediction that his son Dhristadyumna would have the ability to kill Dronacharya. Duryodhan is saying that to get Dronacharya fired up. Why were Dronacharya and Drupada enemies? Because as explained in the Mahabharata, Drupada and Dronacharya went to the same Gurukul. Interesting story. They were in the same class. Do we have some pens on there? And they were very dear friends. Dronacharya was a Brahmin, and Drupada was a Kshatriya, a powerful king. So they were very great friends. And one day Drupada said to Dronacharya, "My dear friend, whatever I have because of my affection for you, I give to you." But time passed and they grew up and they left the Gurukul. And Drupada became a very powerful king. And Dronacharya was a Brahmin who became extremely poor. Dronacharya had a son. Who is that son? Do you know the son of Dronacharya? It's in the Bhagavatam also. It's Asvatam. Now this poor Ashvatthama was so poor that he had never seen milk in his own life, so one of his friends decided to play a trick on him. They gave him some water and put in some white powder. The friend said, "Oh, Ashvatthama, here, I have a nice drink for you, milk." Ashvatthama drank it, and it did not taste good. And his father saw it, and one can imagine how his father's heart broke. That he could not even provide milk for his son. So immediately he was thinking, "I have to do something about my poverty." So he remembered his old school friend Drupada. So as a poor Brahmin, he walked into the kingdom of Drupada, and he walked into the palace and said to Drupada, "Remember when we were school friends? You said that I could have your entire kingdom if I wanted. What was yours was mine. We were friends. Now please, could you give me one cow?" And Drupada was in a very particular mood and said, "Friendship can only exist amongst equals. Get out of here immediately." And he kicked him out. Dronacharya was furious. He learned after that point the military arts. He became so expert in the military that he became the teacher of the Pandavas and the Kauravas. After training up the Kauravas and the Pandavas, they came to Dronacharya and said, "We want to give you Guru Dakshin." Immediately Dronacharya said, "Arjun, go and catch Drupada. Bring him here and tie him up and place him at my feet." That is what he was waiting for. Duryodhana immediately said, "I can do it. Arjuna does not have to do it. I can do it." Dronacharya said to Duryodhana, "You cannot fight like Arjuna. You don't know how powerful Drupada is. You will be completely massacred. Arjuna, you go and do it." Duryodhana became more angry and considered it an insult from his teacher. Arjuna went out and the army of Drupada came out. And Arjuna, with his great power, he captured Drupada, tied him up, and brought him to Duryodhana and Dronacharya and placed him at his feet and made him admit to be the servant of Dronacharya. These are the dealings between the Kshatriyas. Dronacharya said that, "Now you can have half of your kingdom back. I'll take one half." He took half of the kingdom and released Drupada and sent him back. Drupada was not happy with the arrangement and he was so insulted. So he performed the sacrifice, and as a result of this sacrifice he had a son and a daughter, Dhrishtadyumna and Draupadi. Dhrishtadyumna was going to be the death of Dronacharya, and it actually happened like that. And that is why Dronacharya is at one side and Drupada and Dhrishtadyumna were on the other side. So just to fire Dronacharya up and let him know that he was to fight very hard on the battlefield, he said, "Drupada Putrena." He did not call him by his name and reminded him of his enmity with Drupada. So just these two words, "Drupada Putrena," has a deep meaning. You have all this story in behind. Now text 4 and 5. Atra suvamasasa bimaryuni samayudi bimaryuna samayudi Yuyuddhano viratascha Drupada samaharata. Here In this army are many heroic bowmen, equally fighting to Bhima and Arjuna, great fighters like Duryodhana, Virata, and Drupad. Even though Dhrishtadyumna was not a very important obstacle in the face of Dronacharya's very great power in the military art, there were many others who were causes of fear. They are mentioned by Duryodhana as great stumbling blocks on the path of victory, because each and every one of them was as formidable as Bhima and Arjuna. He knew the strength of Bhima and Arjuna, and thus he compared the others with them. Trishtaketu Shikitana Kasi Rajasavirava Prujit Kunti Buddhascha Sabya Sanarapungrava. There are also great heroic, powerful fighters like Trishtaketu Shikitan, Kasiraj, Prujit, Kuntibhoja, and Saibya. So Duryodhana, in this previous verse, he mentions Bhishma first, that he mentions Bhima first, because Bhima is the most dangerous. Bhima, angry, waiting 15 years to kill all the Kauravas. Others fighting ability is compared to Bhima and Arjuna, because they were the great fighters. The first person is mentioned is Bhima, because he's the most dangerous at opposing side. Because Bhima is angry and is waiting 15 years to kill all the Kauravas, and he had taken 3 vows when Draupadi was insulted at the time of the gambling match. Bhima took 3 vows. He said he would kill all of the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. He also said that he would break Duryodhana's thigh, because when Draupadi was said to be the slave, Yudhishthira lost her in a gambling match, as well as his kingdom. At that time, Duryodhana picked up his dhoti and showed his thigh to Draupadi and motioned her to come and sit on his thigh. Bhima became furious, and he vowed to break that very tie. And that, of course, as we know, happened later. Not only did Bhima say that he would kill all of the 100 sons, he also said that he would drink their blood and wash Draupadi's hair with Dushasana's blood. Because he took out the knot that was tied during the Rajasuya ceremony and was trying to disrupt Draupadi. Draupadi's temperament was quite similar to that of Bhima. She used to chastise Yudhishthira Maharaj all the time, saying things as, "You are too much like a Brahmin." She used to be extra favorable to Bhima because they had very similar hot natures. So here Duryodhana is mentioned to Dronacharya first. So here Duryodhana is mentioning to Duryodhana first Bhima. Actually, during the battle, Bhima went crazy. Everywhere he would go and would be screaming loudly, and he would be catching sons of Dhritarashtra and rip open their hearts and drink their blood. Everyone was terrified of him, because he was so incensed in the battle. So Bhima is the first person that is mentioned to be afraid of. He mentioned then Arjuna and great fighters like Duryodhana and Virata and Drupad, so they all have their histories. Cha means Pandavas, the Pandavas' sons from other wives. Pandavas are not they are not mentioned because they are so famous. Yeah, then go to text 6, 1, 6, 1, 7, and 1, 8. Yudamanya Savikanta Uttamacha Savilyavan Sabadrodrapadeyascha Sarvaiva Matarata. They are the mighty Yudyamanyu, the very powerful Uttamaja, the son of Subhadra, and the sons of Draupadi. All these warriors are great chariot fighters. Asmakam tu vishishtaye tanibodha vichotama nayaka mamasenyasya samnyaktam tan pavinmite. But for your information, O best of the Brahmins, let me tell you about the captains who are especially qualified to lead my military force. Text 8. Bhavam bhishma sakarna sha kripasa samitim jaya asvatama vikarna sha samadadistataiva sha. There are personalities like you, Bhishma, Karna, Kripa, Ashvatam, Vikarna, and the son of Somadatta called Bhurishrava, who are always victorious in battle. Purport. Durga mentions the exceptional heroes in the battle, all of whom are ever victorious. Vikarna is the brother of Duryodhan, Ashvatam is the son of Dronacharya, and Samadatti or Bhurishrava is the son of the king of the Balikas. Karna is the half-brother of Arjun, as he was born of Kunti before her marriage with King Pandu. Kripacharya's twin sister married Dronacharya. So Duryodhana is an expert politician. After describing awesome might of the Pandavas, he did not want to frighten Drona. So he started to describe his military force. All these are Maharathas, each of them able to fight with 10,000 elephants. Now, after describing the awesome might of the Pandavas, in text 1:7, Duryodhana says, "Mama sanyasya, my army is the false eagle." Duryodhana, being an expert politician, does not want to make Dronacharya afraid. So he starts off by saying, "Mama sanyasya." Now I shall describe my army, my military force. So in text 1:8. Now he has to describe his great warriors, but who to mention first? Duryodhana is in difficulty with three very heavy personalities on his side: Drona, Vishnu, and Karna. Karna did not get along with Vishnu and Drona. Bhishma was most powerful, but a Kshatriya, and Drona was a Brahmin. If Bhishma would be mentioned first, Drona would feel insulted and will not use all his strength in the battle. Since Drona is a Brahmin, Bhishma would accept his name being mentioned first. If Karna would be mentioned first, then Karna would be happy, but The two others would be furious. Very expertly, Duryodhana said, Bhavan Bhishman. Bhavan means yourself, Dronacharya, and Bhishma is. He's a bit in a difficult situation because you have three very heavy personalities on his side. Yeah, this is the same comment by Purnachandra Maharaj. But he goes a little deeper. There is Drona, Bhishma, and Karna. Now, Karna did not get along with Bhishma and Drona. Bhishma was the most powerful of the warriors, but he was a Kshatriya. And Dronacharya was a Brahmin. So he mentions on his side, and so he mentions those fighting on his side and mentions Bhima first, then Dronacharya and if he mentions Bhishma first, then Dronacharya will become very insulted and not put everything in his fighting. If he mentions Dronacharya first, then Bhishma might get insulted. So first he says Bhavan Bhishmas. So first is your good self. The reason why he's able to do this is because Dronacharya is a Brahmin and Bhishma is a Kshatriya. And Bhishma being a Kshatriya will allow a Brahmin to be mentioned first. If he would have said Karma first, then Karma would have been happy, but the other two would have been furious. So very expertly he says Bhavan Bhishmas. First on your side there is your good self, then Bhishma who is senior and Karma. There are personalities like Bhishma, Karna, and then just to encourage Dronacharya he mentioned Kripa, who is Dronacharya's brother-in-law, because Dronacharya is married to Kripa, and then Ashvadam, who is Dronacharya's son. So he's very expert just to get his ends met, because they are all listening to Dronacharya. Vikarna is not as powerful as the others. Vikarna is the son of Dhritarashtra, one of the 100 sons. He was the only one to protest in the assembly when Draupadi was disrobed. He was the only person to protest. Duryodhana was afraid that Vikarna is going over to the other side, because before the battle begins, Yudhishthira will go out and say, anyone who wants to fight on my side, come over from Duryodhana's side, and you can come now. So Duryodhana is afraid that Vikarma, because he doesn't like what happened to Draupadi, is going to defect to the other side. So therefore, Duryodhana says that we have very powerful fighters like Bhishma and Drona and Kripacharya and Vikarma on our side. So all special people that are mentioned here. Duryodhana further encourages Drona by mentioning Kripa, Drona's brother-in-law. Drona is married with Kripi. Then Ashvatam, Drona's son. Duryodhana, expert in presenting things to have his purpose met. Samitim Jaya, always victorious in battle. Vikarna, the son of Dhritarashtra, was not in any way as powerful as the others, but he was the only one to protest the offense of Draupadi in the assembly. Duryodhana, afraid that he may defect, mentioned in a flattery way, mentions him amidst the great personalities. Then, not the text 9 and 10. Anyase bhavasura mat arte jakta jivita nanu shastra paharana. There are many other heroes who are prepared to lay down their lives for my sake. And all of them, well equipped with different kinds of weapons and all our experience in military science. Purport. As far as the others are concerned, like Jayadrata, Kritavarma and Satya, all are determined to lay down their lives for Duryodhana's sake. In other words, it is already concluded that all of them would die in the battle of Kurukshetra for joining the party of the sinful Duryodhana. Duryodhana was of course confident of his victory on account of the above mentioned combined strength of his friends. Text 10. That's me. Aparyaptam tadasmakam balam bhishma birakshitam puryaptam vidam etesham balam bhima birakshitam. Our strength is immeasurable and we are perfectly protected by grandfather Bhishma, whereas the strength of the Pandavas carefully protected by Bhima is limited. Herein an estimation of comparative strength is made by Duryodhana. He thinks that the strength of his armed forces is immeasurable, being specifically protected by the most experienced general, grandfather Bhishma. On the other hand, the forces of the Pandavas are limited, being protected by a less experienced general, Bhima, who is like a fig in the presence of Bhishma. Bhishma, Duryodhana was always envious of Bhima, because he knew perfectly well that if he should die at all, he would only be killed by Bhima. But at the same time, he was confident of his victory on account of the presence of Bhishma, who was a far superior general. His conclusion was that he would come out of the battle victorious. It was well ascertained that so Duryodhana has to make Bhishma feel very important. The Pandavas were Bhishma's favorite students. So Duryodhana has to encourage Bhishma to fight. The word aparyaptam has two meanings. It says Balte Vidyabhushan, Srila Prabhupada also says immeasurable. The Kauravas protected by Bhima, therefore their strength was immeasurable. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says this is the second meaning of aparyaptam, means insufficient. Bhima had great affection for the Pandavas, therefore his being the protector of the Kauravas would be insufficient. This made Drona feel important and needed to secure the victory of Duryodhana. Duryodhana was fired up. He was firing up both personalities by using this subtle word aparyaptam. Srila Madhvacharya, he did not like the statement that protection given by Bhima is limited. Because Madhvacharya is an incarnation of Bhima. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur and Baladev Vidyabhushan both translate this word aparyaptam in different ways just to make it more interesting. Baladev Vidyabhushan translates it as our strength is immeasurable because we are protected by Bhishma. When Bhishma hears this, he even wants to fight more strongly. He's talking to Dronacharya, so aparyaptami has another meaning too, and it means insufficient. So if it is taken as immeasurable, then Bhima gets excited and wants Bhishma to fight strongly, who gets encouraged. If it is taken as insufficient, because for Bhima's affection for the Pandavas then Dronacharya gets very encouraged to fight because it is so much more needed. In this way, the Acharyas reveal some of the subtleties of the Bhagavad Gita that make it exciting. And we see Duryodhana's expertise. That now the last text for today's can go up to 2:13. I'll read 11 to 13. Ayanesu sasarvesu yata bhagam avastita bhismam eva virakshantu bravantu sarvaivai. All of you must now give full support to Grandfather Bhishma and as you stand at your respective strategic points of entrance into the phalanx of the army. Purport. Duryodhana, after praising the prowess of Bhishma, further considers that others might think that he had been considered less important. So in his usual diplomatic way, he tried to adjust the situation in the above words. He emphasized that Bhishma Dev was undoubtedly the greatest hero, but he was an old man, so everyone must especially think of his protection from all sides. He might become engaged in the fight, and the enemy might take advantage of his full engagement on one side. Therefore, it was important that other heroes do not leave their strategic positions and allow the enemy to break the phalanx. Duryodhana clearly felt that the victory of the Kauravas depended on the presence of Bhishma Dev. He was confident of the full support of Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya in the battle because he well knew that they did not even speak a word when Arjuna's wife Draupadi, in her helpless condition, had appealed to them for such justice. While she was being forced to appear naked in the presence of all the great generals in the assembly, although he knew that the two generals had some sort of affection for the Pandavas, he hoped that these generals would now completely give it up, as they had done during the gambling performances. Tasya san chainayam harsam guru vritta pitama singhanadam vinayocha sankam datma patapavan. Then Bhishma, the great valiant grandsire of the Kuru dynasty, the grandfather of the fire of the fighters, blew his concho very loudly, making a sound like the roar of a lion, giving Duryodhana joy. The grandsire of the Kuru dynasty could understand the inner meaning of the heart of his grandson Duryodhana, and out of his natural compassion for him, he tried to cheer him by blowing his conch very loudly, befitting his position as a lion. Indirectly, by the symbolism of the conch, he informed his depressed grandson Duryodhana that he had no chance of victory in the battle because the Supreme Lord Krishna was on the other side, but still it was his duty to conduct the fight and no pains would be spared in that connection. That I will read text 13 also, that's the last verse. Tatasanka sabayasya bhavanaka kurumuka Sashai ba vyayantyanta sasaba stumalo bhavat. After that, the conchs, drums, bugles, trumpets, and horns were all suddenly sounded, and the combined sound was tumultuous. So, in text 11, Duryodhana stresses that victory is dependent on the presence of Grandfather Bhishma. As an expert diplomat, he stresses that the support of all the army is very important, very important. Duryodhana is confident of the full support of Bhishma and Drona because they did not speak a word when appealed to by Draupadi. After Duryodhana said this, he tried to encourage Drona and Bhishma in many ways. Bhishma, as a very stern Kshatriya, did not say anything. Ratri blew his conch shell. Bhishma blew his conch to remove the fear from Duryodhana's heart. Bhishma's conch blowing symbolizes indirectly that the sons of Dhritarashtra have no chance of victory, because the conch is a symbol of Vishnu and Krishna, who was fighting on the opposing side. Bhishma would do his duty as a Kshatriya and give his life in the fight, but victory and defeat was in the Lord's hands. Bhishma blow his conch to hear Krishna's conch. But actually, Bhishma's blowing of the conch shell had a meaning that should not have given Duryodhana joy. Because the meaning of Bhishma's blowing of the conch shell is, I will fight because I require to fight, but actually, I will give my life in this battle, but victory and defeat is in the Lord's hand. And his blowing of the conch shell being the symbol of Vishnu, is recognition that Duryodhana's party is going to be defeated. It's very interesting that Bhishma Dev is the devotee of Krishna and is fighting at the other side. It is said that he became influenced by eating the grains of Duryodhana, and that therefore financially dependent on Duryodhana, but in his heart he's a devotee. So he fights because he's a Kshatriya. And whether he's fighting on one side or the other, it doesn't matter for him. It's his service to Krishna. He says, I'm a Kshatriya and I will do my duty. I will give my life. But victory and defeat is in the hands. It is in the hands of the Lord. Because we see here that Bhishma Dev hears Dronacharya speaking and glorifying him and all the, but he's not much interested. His answer is blowing the conch shell, and the conch shell means victory is in the hands of the Lord, because the conch is one of the symbols that Lord Narayan has in his hands. It's the sign of Vishnu. And in that sense, that indicates that the Pandavas will win. And he blew this conch shell because he wanted to hear Krishna's conch shell as a response. Thank you.